that's an excellent presentation. It's intriguing, this, because I'm living in London, as I do. I'm aware of them existing, not far from. I think one of those pictures looks quite familiar, like I walk past that place. So I'm aware what they are, what people do and stuff. But what I'm not quite clear on is, again, where the story would be. So how do you find an angle on a yes, as you say, there's a brilliant
event. It's drawing the seat of the shooting event, or whatever, within the smoking event.
That might be true, but how do you get that?
Okay, there's a story in terms of introducing young people, a generation of young people who might not necessarily be smoking, because of the attractive nature of shisha, the fact that it's relatively easy to smoke, the fact that they can have access to it. It's perhaps introducing a generation of people and it's getting them addicted to the nicotine, because obviously it contains tobacco.
So in that case, the headline might be 80% of 18-year-olds in Samoa think that shisha isn't that bad for you.
Yeah.
But actually, you're saying that it is. Well, that's the kind of data you need. So that, and then also what I think I'd be looking for if I was going to try and pitch something on this would be some kind of case of somebody who smoked far too much of it and perhaps that led to some kind of harm that they might be prepared to talk about.
Yeah.
Not always easy getting people to do that, but that would certainly help. But there's certainly an interesting angle there. I guess the question is about how many effects you're talking about. Was it 14 shisha bars?
Well, Coventry, they've gone from, like, I think, 1 or 2 to 14 in the space of a few years.
So how many people are we talking about altogether that use them regularly? Is it hundreds of thousands of people, or is it actually quite a minority activity? So that's the other
thing.
At the
moment, it's a minority activity, but we believe that it is something that's very popular with young people and students. And as we've seen with other cultural trends, starts with early adopters, which then it becomes popular and with the general public. And because there's such a low level of awareness around the health risks, we see this as being something that will really kind of run out of control.
So you're saying, Liz, you'd want a headline, you'd want a top line for it, and it personalises it.
Let's get some more facts.
Thank you very much. Dennis?
I actually think this is very newsworthy indeed. I think this is a classic modern public health dilemma. You have commercial interests, bar owners, entrepreneurial people generally, using dubious marketing techniques to sell and encourage the consumption of something that, you know, as a general societal trend, consumption of tobacco has been going down for 40-odd years now. It's aimed, as you said, specifically at young people. I've looked at websites where there are. It's aimed at, it's presented to young people and students and so on as kind of, you know, in the way that alcohol is often promoted to young people, cigarettes, tobacco used to be, it's all part of kind of letting your hair down and having a wild time and a typical night out, even though it's inherently unhealthy behaviour. I think Ali, you mentioned the issue of planning consent, because I would want to know the local council who, in whatever area, is giving permission for these things to open. Maybe you could get the local paper to, as a way of getting this issue on the some attention, get the chair of the planning committee or the mayor, somebody involved from local council who's been party to a decision, let one or more of these more of these premises open, to argue, to maybe to write a piece or to have a public debate in the newspaper, the television, local radio, whatever it might be, with a local doctor, cancer research, you care about, concerned about this. It's on the British Medical Association's website. It wouldn't be very difficult to find a local doctor, not a public health doctor, an oncologist, ever, to say these places are potentially really bad, as you said, a potentially very damaging new form of public health.
So more information for you, Dennis, is what you need.
Pardon?
Some more specific information is what you're after.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
To get a good debate, go to board.
Absolutely, thank you very much. Finally, Roy.
Thank you very much. Where are we? Well, Sandor's Seizure of Shame. I like alliterations in a headline. You've got to ramp it up. It's no good saying that headline that you said it isn't bad or something, whatever. Yeah, it's no good. It's got to be the headline, "This Stuff Kills You." That's your headline. Freddie Starr ate my hamster.
I started to think if you're going on to hooker, but anyway.
Yes. Oh, Sandor kids hooked on hookers. I mean, I've got one. that's your headline. I've got one. I bought one home from holiday. It's in the Atlantic. Look, you've got to get some epidemiological data, you know, cancer rates up or something like that. A councillor's seizure shame decision, members powerless to act. You've got to drive it home. You've got to be really hard-nosed about this, you know, and you've got to embarrass the councillors. In fact, it's legal, and it's allowed. So that's your problem.
There's no evidence of any duty being paid in these products. That's another problem.
that's not. But that's not. Okay. Well, that's another headline.
Yeah.
You know, a dirty smoking duty dodge. Selling a pen, £24, killing our kids. I mean, that's what you've got to go for. What you've got to do is you've got to make these places socially unacceptable. So when people go past, they spit on the doorstep. Right? And you've got to be relentless in their pursuit. And you've got to, you know, it's going to kill a generation. Headline is, it kills you. You know, Hook and Peril's to kill a generation, spokesman said. You know, obviously.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much indeed.